church because I get to come here and learn about Jesus and worship.
It's an eclectic mix of people. They don't judge you. They accept you the way you are.
Because everybody here is kind of like a family.
I love my church because of the people.
I love my church because of the great people and the community that it provides.
Everyone here is awesome, so welcoming, and they make you feel like we are family.
I love my church because of the community and neighborhood groups.
I love my church because of the community that I get on campus, neighborhood groups, high school ministry, everywhere. It's all about community.
Hey, I want to welcome everyone on all of our campuses. I'm just so glad that you made the decision to be here this weekend. And I hope you've been enjoying this series we've been in called I Love My Church. It's been a great series. If you've missed any of the past 3 weeks when we've been in the series, you can always watch them online. If you're new, we podcast all of our messages so you can catch up in a series if you missed anything. But today, as we dive into the message, I want to say last weekend, I know I told you that the church I grew up in was really, really small. If you're here last weekend, you heard me say that. It was about 200 people in a town of 2,000. And I said that I was pretty bored at church a lot of the times. But I just want to let you know the reality of my experience growing up in the church is that the church changed my life. It was in the church that I learned about Jesus for the very first time. It was in the church that I learned that Jesus loves me. I was told that over and over again, even if it was on a flannel board with flannel graphs going on. But I learned that Jesus didn't just love me, he loved everyone. And we used to sing this song over and over again. Some of you will remember this if you grew up in church. It said, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yeah. And I mean, think about that. That one song, if we could let that sink in the life of our nation, that could change things. Because I learned that, hey, Jesus loves us no matter what we look like, no matter what our race is. And then I learned that I could trust Jesus. And then I learned about sin, I learned about heaven, I learned about hell. Sometimes we learned a little too much about hell, we did. A little hellfire and brimstone coming out of sometimes in the church I grew up in. But I learned that sin separated me from God, and then when I learned what Jesus did for me, at the age of 10, I decided to give my life to Jesus, I was baptized, and everything changed. I mean, I'm the man I am today, the husband I am today, the dad I am today, because of the church. I love the church. And when I look at just kind of my church experience and what transformed my family as I was growing up, I was kind of asking myself, what was it? I mean, what did it? And I think part of it was the consistency we talked about last weekend, but I'm convinced more than ever, I think what transformed my mom and my dad and my family was this. It was community. You see, my parents didn't just go to church. My parents were involved in the community of the church. And the more I think about life, you know, what really inspires us and transforms us, the more I read scripture and look at about what really brings about life change, I'm convinced it's this word. I'm convinced it's community. And what I want us to just think about early on as we dive into this topic today is, isn't there something inside of us, though, if we are really honest, isn't there something that kind of pushes against the idea of community? I mean, as Americans, think about it. Sometimes we idolize our independence. I mean, we love movies like The Lone Ranger. We like songs that sing about doing it our own way. I mean, we love the Declaration of Independence. I mean, at times, we take the idea that we are a sovereign nation, and we translate that into the idea that we can be sovereign individuals. I mean, we can be self-made men or women that don't need anybody else and don't need to involve anybody else in our life. But as we get started today, I just want to remind you of something that many of you already know. And here's what it is. It's that God created you in and hardwired you for community. Now, what do I mean by that God created you in community? Well, if you have your Bibles, open to the very first book in Genesis. It's the very first book in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, as God creates humanity, I just want you to listen to what he said. He said this in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. I like how the Message translation puts it. It says, God spoke, let us make human beings in our image. Now, you've probably read that verse, and sometimes you might have just blown right past it. But do you understand how significant this is? Why did God say, let us, and why did he say our? I mean, those are that's plural. I mean, wasn't God alone? I mean, I know the Lone Ranger, even he needed Tonto. Okay, we know that. But surely God, if anyone could do it alone, it was God. But the significance of this verse is huge. Do you understand that God has never, even from the beginning of time, done life alone? He's always done life in the context of community. You might say, well, who was there with God? I mean, wasn't he alone? Well, you know who was there? It was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They were there from the very beginning, what we call the Trinity, as sometimes we talk about in church. See, God created you in the context of community. He's always done life in community. And so the second half of this verse is so significant. Then God says, let us make them, in other words, us, humanity, reflecting our nature. There's the plural word, our nature. God's nature was to do life in community. And so he created you and he created me for us to do life in community as well. That's why when God created Adam, and it was just Adam, the very first human being on earth, and he was all alone, he had all the animals, he had even had little furry cats he could have snuggled with if he wanted to. But here's what God said. It's not good for man to be what? Alone. And I've never seen this before, ever, but I was studying this passage this weekend, and you know what the Hebrew word is for alone? Here's how it's spelled. Bad. Is that not ironic? And some of you today, you're like, well, I get it. Maybe you're new to church, or maybe the Bible doesn't hold a lot of weight for you. And so if that's the case, I would say just put scripture aside for a second. Just think about your own life. Think about your own experience. I mean, haven't the greatest moments in your life, did they come when you were alone? Some of you parents with small kids, especially you moms, you're like, yes, Ashley, they did come when I was alone. I mean, when all the kids get out of the house and my husband's gone, oh, praise the Lord. Or some of you with stressful jobs, you're like, I just need to get alone. And I get that, but here's what I wrote down, and I'd encourage you to write this down as well. Don't confuse the short-term need for solitude with your long-term design for community. Can I repeat that? Do not confuse your short-term need for solitude. We all need solitude on occasion, but don't confuse that short-term need with how you were designed by God for community. When your child was born, one of the happiest days of your life, could you imagine if no one was there to celebrate with you? It wouldn't have been the same. For those of you that have played a competitive sport on a team, listen, your individual accolades were not what made that experience so great. It was doing life with a team and winning. For those of you that went to college, I mean, think about college. Some of you are like, Ashley, I don't remember college much. I get it, but think about college. Wasn't part of what made your college experience so amazing? Wasn't it that for the very first time, for many of us, it was the first time we did community with another set of people outside of just our family? But it's not just life's greatest moments that happen in community. Your greatest growth as an individual happens in community. My greatest growth, your greatest growth, happened when we surrounded ourselves with the right people that shaped us and formed us. And that's why Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's how God designed us to be, for us to be sharpened in community. And that's why I would say this. There is no such thing as a lone ranger that grows. It doesn't happen. And I'm going to make an assumption about you today and me. If you're here today in CCV, unless you're brand new or just kind of checking things out still, you're here because you want to grow in your faith. You want to grow closer to God. You know the benefits in your marriage, your family, your life in growing in your faith. And here's just what I want you to know and what I want to propose to you today. As a Christian, you will only grow to the level of community you have in the church. If that's true, we have to seriously think about and consider, how are we supposed to do community as a body of believers? How are we supposed to do community as a church? And you ready for this? You ready? This might surprise some of you. It's not what we're doing right now. This hour we're together in this environment, this is critical. It's important. You'll see in just a moment how critical it is for God, that God tells us we need to do this. But here's the problem. This isn't community. Do you know why? Community doesn't happen in rows. It never has and it never will. Where does community happen? Community always takes place in circles. But it's better than that. In the long run, life change happens in circles, not rows. The change you've had in your life, it happened in a circle, not just in a row. Let me give you an example that a lot of us can relate with, hopefully. How many of you dated someone and then you fell in love with them? Go ahead and raise your hands. If you're married, that's what happened, okay? Some of you are like, should I raise my hand? It's not a trick question, all right? Unless you had an arranged marriage, you dated someone and you fell in love. Well, how many of you, when you dated, one of your first dates was to the movies? How many of you did that? Yeah, it's a pretty typical first date. For Jamie and I, when we first started dating in college, we went to the movies all the time. I mean, sometimes one or two times a week. And when you went to the movies, do you understand? You went in a row. You sat down in a row in the movie theater. And listen, I'm not saying that nothing good doesn't happen in a row. You know, one of Jamie and I's first dates to the movie theater, and I didn't do this on purpose, but we went to this really scary movie, and I'm telling you, she was like all up on my arm snuggling, and I was like, good choice on movies on this one, good job. Maybe for you when you were dating, that was the first time that he kind of did one of these moves, you know, or your hands touched for the first time. I mean, good things happen in rows. But let me ask you a question. Just pretend for a second that when you started dating, the only date that you would have ever had was he picked you up in a car, you sat in a row in the car, you drove to a movie theater, you sat in a row, and he took you home in a row in the car and dropped you off. And that's the only date that you would have ever had was sitting in a row. Question. Would you have fallen in love? The answer is no. Do you know where you fell in love? You fell in love around one of these, sitting just like this, around a circle is where you fell in love. Now, right now, you're in a row. Now, what can you see about the person in front of you right now? You can only see the back of their head. Looking at the back of someone's head, that's not community, that's weird, okay? Now, the person to your right and left right now, you may know them, you may not know them, but listen, they're not looking at you, they're not having a conversation with you. If they are, listen, get your eyes back up here, that's just weird too. I mean, I'm talking right now. Life change happens around a circle. And what I want you to know is that God designed us to have rows and to have circles. They are both important in the life of a church. Good things happen in rows, but life change happens in circles. And that's how it was for us, and that's how it was designed for us in Scripture. I want to show you a place in Scripture that makes this really, really clear for me. In the book of Acts, if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the story of the very first church on earth. Jesus has just died, and he rose again, and the church blossoms up for the very first time in Jerusalem. And we're told in Acts chapter 1 that the church is made up of about 120 people. That's all it was. And then Peter does something. He gets up in front of a crowd, kind of like what we're sitting in today, rows, and he preaches a gospel message, and it says that 3,000 people were added to the number that day. So overnight, the church goes from about 120 people to over 3,000 people now. But then as we read in Acts chapter 2, it doesn't stop there. The church explodes. It says that people are being added to the church daily. And we don't know how big the first church got, but it's very likely, it could be probable, that it was the size of a church like CCV across all of our campuses, maybe even bigger. And when you look at that, you kind of have to ask, the church was huge. How did they do community? And sometimes, you know, I hear people say, CCV's too big. I can't go there. I think, man, you would have struggled with the very first church too. Or you're going to struggle with heaven. Heaven's going to be huge. Trust me. But the church was huge. And how did they do community? And we get to see how they did it. It's so clear. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, says this. They, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Okay, but how'd they do that with that many people? Well, it goes on. It says this. They continued to meet together where? In the temple courts. And they broke bread where? In their homes. Here's what happened in the first church. They gathered together in large groups in rows on the temple courts. And then they went and took that message into their homes. And they gathered in community in their communities. And do you know what happens when a church gathers together like we are today? And gets inspired and gets the word of God and gets our battle plans and then takes it into homes to do life in the midst of a circle in communities, you know what happens? The church explodes. That's exactly what happened in the early church. That's how it grew so fast. It grew so fast that a group of leaders in Jerusalem got so upset that the church had spread all across Jerusalem. You know what they did? They called Peter and the other leaders of the church to appear before them. And in Acts chapter 5, here's what they said to them. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. But you keep gathering together in the temple courts, teaching God's word, and then you take it home to home in community and listen to what they said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with all of your teaching. Do we want to fill the valley with Jesus' teaching? Yes. We have to do the same thing. And right after they walked out of this meeting, after getting chastised by these leaders, of filling their whole city with Jesus. Do you know what they did? Right after it, it says they did this. Day after day, in the temple courts, large gathering, and from house to house, community, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's how they did church. And when a church gets this right, and they gather together like we are today, and then they go back in homes and do community together, people change, cities change. And I'm telling you, our world changes. And that's why we have the same model. It's a part of our next steps that we talk about here at the church. We always say, what's your next step? And as a part of our next steps, we ask you, gather together on a weekend. Come every single weekend with your family. This is important. God designed this to be important. But we don't want you to stop there. A next step is then you need to go and gather with a smaller group of believers in a home. And here at CCV, community, for us, the way we've designed it, is community happens in something we call neighborhood groups. They're how we do circles here at CCV. And some of you maybe don't even know what a neighborhood group is. But a neighborhood group is simply a gathering of maybe 10 to 20 people that gather in someone's home that's agreed to host in their home. It usually happens in the living room, sometimes around a table, but it's in a circle environment. And there's a leader that leads that group, and you say, well, what happens in a neighborhood group? Well, what happens is normally when the group starts, they turn the lights down low, they light some incense in the middle of the room. You know, everyone starts chanting in a circle, kind of weird chants. And then the biggest sinner for that week, they put him in the middle of the circle, and then everyone lays hands on him and just says, you sinner, we're praying for you. No. There's so many misperceptions about what happens in a neighborhood group. It's not weird. It's not even complex. It's literally just a group of people that come together that connect with each other. Sometimes there's some light snacks or food at the beginning. There's a leader that we've trained that just facilitates a short Bible study, oftentimes digging into the message of what we talked about on the weekend and looking at it and applying it to their lives. And then they usually end with some prayer and support for each other. It's about an hour long. And listen, you don't have to know anything about the Bible to be in a neighborhood group. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't even have to pray. You don't even have to talk out loud if you don't want to at the beginning. But it's a place where people gather to do actual community in the church, because community happens in a circle, not in a row. And here's why I want to challenge many of you today that have been coming to CCV, and you've been doing this row thing really, really well, but you're not in a circle. I want to challenge you to do that, and here's why. If you stay in a row, you will not grow. Can I say that again? If you stay in a row, you will not grow. Because growth is designed to happen in the context of community. And that's why some of you, you've been coming for maybe a long time, and this is kind of your only environment at CCV, and you're like, I just don't feel like I'm growing like I did at the beginning. It's because you've stopped at a row. When I look at my own life, I'm telling you, the greatest growth that I've experienced in my life has happened in a circle. When Jamie and I were very first married, our very first church we went to, we were 20 and 21, we were young pups, And we hit some really rough patches. I mean, some tough times early on in marriage, like a lot of you maybe did as well. And it was, you know, it was 99% Jamie's fault. I think I had 1% to do with it. It was the opposite. It was mostly me. But we got involved with a small group. And I'm telling you, that group, it transformed our marriage. It saved our marriage, I believe. There was a time in our life, early on in marriage as well, and some of you heard me tell the story, where we hit some real bad financial just things going on in our life, and it was a struggle. And it was our group that really came alongside and really helped shape us and form us. I remember doing a study in our group on finances, and man, we talked about debt, and that's where we decided to become debt-free. It's why we're debt-free to this day, is because we were involved in a circle. 2 years ago in our church, we're a part of a neighborhood group. We've always been a part of a neighborhood group here at CCV. Our church was going through a parenting series, and our group was diving into that parenting series. And so much of who we are as parents, we learned so much in that group because there were parents that were further along than we were that helped pour into our lives. And I could go on and on and on about how circles have transformed our lives. But here's just what I know. I know you can't grow spiritually unless you're connected in a church relationally. It's how God designed it to be. And that's why I'm so passionate. That's why for Jamie and I, we've decided that we will be in a neighborhood group. We'll be in a small group environment for life. We're lifers because we've just seen what it's done and how it's changed us. Because I know that God designed the best version of me to develop in community. And God designed the best version of you to develop in community as well. Can we say this out loud? If you feel comfortable, I want you to say it out loud with me. God designed the best version of me to develop in community. It's true. But here's the thing. It's not just the impact I've seen on my life as I've been involved in community. It's the impact I've seen on other people's lives as God's used me to invest in other people. Do you understand right now at CCV, there's people all around you that need you? Right now, right around you in your rows, they need your parenting advice, they need your financial advice, they need your spiritual advice. Do you know what the needs are of the people right around you in your row? No. Why? Because you don't know needs until you get into a circle. And in a circle is where the church actually gets to be the church. It's amazing. I mean, I could tell you story after story up here of people that have been involved in community in our church and neighborhood groups, single moms that have been cared for, the sick that have been prayed for, and miracles have happened. I can tell you people that have lost their jobs and they've been financially supported because they were involved in community. I can tell you of groups that have done community outreaches and barbecues in their neighborhood and they've reached their neighbors for Jesus Christ. Some of you right now are here today because of a community in your neighborhood, a group of people that reached out to you. I could tell you of schools in our neighborhoods that have hundreds of volunteers from neighborhood groups. Just a heads up, October 1st, we're going to ask our whole church and our neighborhood groups to come together, and we're going to just blitz our local schools around every one of our campuses with something we call Love Our Schools Day. We're going to go serve and do all these community projects in our schools to transform our schools. It's going to be so excited, so just kind of mark that on your calendars, October 1st. We'll have more details later. But I'm telling you, life change has happened as you invest in people in your community. And here's what some of you think. Yeah, that's good, Ashley, but I'm good right now. I don't think I need community. I mean, I'm so busy in life. I mean, how am I going to carve out another hour on some week during my crazy busy week? And I get it. We're all busy. I'm busy as well. But here's what you need to know. Every person that's a part of a neighborhood group is as busy, if not more busy, than you are. They just know the value of it. See, they've understood that life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I love this old Zambian proverb. It says this: when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together in community, you run far. And in this marathon called life, if you're single, married, you have a pulse. I don't care who you are. At some point in your life, you are going to hit a major bump, a major hole in your road of life. And if you're not a part of community, I'm telling you, the effects can be devastating. Some of the saddest calls we get as a church is someone will call the front desk and they'll talk to one of our receptionists who are awesome. And they'll be going through a crisis, whether it's marriage or family or kids or anxiety or anything in between. And inevitably we'll ask, well, are you a part of a neighbor group? Are you part of a community? And usually the answer is no. If they were, they'd actually be calling their community, not someone at the front desk that they don't even know. And listen, as a church, we are always there. We're going to do everything we can to support anyone at this church and anyone in our community. But it's never the same. You know how hard it is, you know, as a pastor or our staff, to walk into a hospital room and have to kind of check the name to make sure you remember it before you walk in the room? Life change happens when you're a part of a community. Community is kind of like a retirement account. You don't need it today, but you will absolutely need it someday. And do you understand, you may not feel like you need community this week, but there will come a week when you need it. And do you understand, you can't just manufacture community on the week you need it. You had to have been investing in it all along in the life of the local church. And I want to show you the story right now of a couple in our church that when they started coming to CCV 8 years ago, they made the decision, even though they were busy, to decide to invest in getting in a neighborhood group and doing community. And they would tell you now it absolutely transformed their life. Listen to their story.
My name is Matthew. This is my wife, Erin. We've been going to CCV now for 8 years. We moved in the neighborhood, and I remember coming home from work one day, or we were shopping, and a neighbor across the street came up and said, hey, you know, would you guys go to church with us? And my response, I'm not going, was my response to him, because I didn't know who he was. And then them kind of leaning on us a little bit, and our daughters were best friends, and you know, our daughter came over one day and was like, Dad, how come we don't go to church? And I'm like, oh, okay. It just progressed on, and then finally it was like, let's join a small group. And I'm like, we don't have the time. I mean, we got all these things going on during the week. You work, I work, when are we gonna find time? But once we set a date and we stuck to it, it was just like amazing. Everybody coming around and talking about God and just living the life, and all the wisdom that everybody had to share was really cool, just to help us grow more in our faith too at the time, especially since I was kind of on the fence a little bit.
It was just cool to meet people that way and just see how they're doing life a little differently than we are, and we liked the way they were doing life, so it's just cool to be a part of. Six years ago, our youngest son, Ryan, was diagnosed with epilepsy. We didn't know anything was wrong until I picked him up and he wasn't there. And called 911, rushed him to the hospital, and ever since that day, he's had seizures for 6 years. All the way from a few a week to hundreds a day to none during the day, only at night. And then we just recently were back in the hospital with him.
We thought it was just routine, maybe get to the hospital and they do emergency meds to kind of break him up. And then we went from Thunderbird Hospital to Phoenix Children because they just couldn't get him under control. They weren't stopping. So they had to put him into like an induced coma.
During that time in ICU, it was back and forth of them trying to take him out of the coma. He would still have seizures, putting him back in the coma, like back and forth. And he did go into cardiac arrest during that time, so we almost lost him. That was absolutely crazy. But yeah, he pulled through that, thank goodness.
We heard about the Walters and their son Ryan, and immediately our neighborhood group began to pray. Food tidings were started. And then from there, a family or two got together and did a lemonade stand in the neighborhood and raised $1,000. And we had a prayer vigil for them. And there was 30 to 40 people. More importantly, just the continued support of our neighborhood group and other people from other neighborhood groups going down to Phoenix Children's and delivering meals and praying with them. I know we did that, and It was huge for the family. They just needed to know they weren't going through this alone.
If we didn't have the support of our group, it would have been tough.
Impossible.
It would have been really hard.
Yeah, I think just seeing the love that they have for us, the church is doing what the church is supposed to do, and I just think that is awesome. And in the beginning, it was hard for us to accept a lot of the help. We always want to give, but we never want to receive. And our family, I mean, they've been absolutely wonderful, but it has definitely been our church community that has impacted me personally the most through this.
If we didn't have this kind of support around us from our neighborhood, it would have been pretty impossible just to manage it by ourselves.
Yeah, so good what God's doing in their life. You know, watching that story, it's such a small piece of Matt and Aaron's story. They have been in Phoenix Children's Hospital now going on 2 months solid, most of that time in the ICU. The last time I talked to Matt, he had slept in his own bed 2 nights out of the past 7 weeks. And I'm telling you, there have been not just their group, it's really the broader community of other neighborhood groups around them in their neighborhood that have come together and supported and loved on that family. But it would not have happened if Matt and Aaron would not have invested in community all those years ago. And as I started thinking about Matt and Aaron's story, I thought, what would they have done if they didn't have community? It broke my heart to think about Matt and Aaron. And then I started thinking, yeah, but what about all the other people at CCV? That maybe their child's not sick, but their marriage is falling apart, or they have a prodigal son, or they're dealing with an addiction, or they have something else going on in life, and they're not a part of community. And I thought, oh, God, that's not how you designed it to be. But then I started going further. I thought, yeah, but what about all the people that don't have things going on, but they don't know about the Matt and Aarons in our church, so they're not able to invest their lives in pouring into other people? Because, you know, if you're in a row, you will not know. I mean, when we start thinking about that way, you think it's pretty selfish not to invest in community, because then all of a sudden church is just about you. And that was never how it was designed to be. We were meant to be a community together. So I want to challenge you. Get into a circle. Some of you have been a part of a neighbor group in the past, and you know what? You backed out of it for whatever reason. And I'm telling you, get back in. I'm a part of a neighbor group. Do you think I want to go to my neighbor group every single week? There's times I'm like, I don't want to go this week. But I just know and have seen the value long term. And so you invest in community. You push through. Some of you are like, gosh, that'd be really weird to walk into a living room with people I don't know for the very first time. Yeah, that could be awkward for the first time. I mean, your first date was awkward as well. That didn't stop you. You got to push through the awkward. And listen, if Matt and Aaron's story, if my story, if someone else's story doesn't impact you with your God-given design to be in community, here's what I tell you. Just think about your own story. Maybe growing up as a child, do you remember when your mom or your dad spiraled out of control and they went through that issue? What if they would have had a circle or a community that came alongside them? It could have been so different for you. Some of you, your parents' marriage, it just went awry. Could you imagine if they would have been in community? And maybe they were even a part of a church, but it was just a row over and over again. They never had community. It could have been so different for you. Maybe their parenting, they parented you the best they could, but man, it was tough. Could you imagine if they would have had a community of other parents that were helping them and encouraging them? See, God designed the best version of you, the best version of your marriage, the best version of your parenting, the best version of your career, the best version of you as a single. God designed the best version of you to happen and develop in community. So the takeaway today is really simple. It's this: would you commit to 4 weeks in a neighborhood group? I'm not even asking you to commit to forever. Our neighborhood groups are gonna kick off here in just a few weeks at the end of August. Our season for neighborhood groups is basically January through May. We kind of take a break for the summer, and then we kind of go August through usually beginning of December, and they kick off here in just a few weeks. And I'm just saying, would you commit to 4 weeks and do community with other people and see? And you can try a group. If it doesn't work, try a different group. But here's how easy it is to sign up. in your, if you're using the mobile app, there's a link in your notes that you can click. It takes you right to a place where you can sign up for a neighborhood group. If you're using our app, I think the even easier way to do it is to go to our next step section in the app, and you can go to connect, and it pulls up literally a map of every neighborhood group around you on a map with little homes that tells you when they meet, where they meet, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Sign up for a group before you leave today. Literally, sign up for a group before you leave today. If you have questions at all, we have people on every campus at our information centers that will answer any question. They'll help you sign up for a group. But I'm just pleading with you. Would you value what God wants to do in your life if you just make the decision to be in community? Because I'm telling you, this matters in the life of our church rows, but God designed you not to just do life in a row, but to change your life when you join community with your church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a church that so wants to do community the way you designed it to be done. God, in a circle, not just a row. And this is so important what we're doing today, God. We can never stop meeting together like this, but we need to take it into our communities, and we need to transform not only ourselves, but the people in our communities as we do life together. May you convict us to take this step, a next step towards drawing closer and fulfilling your mission here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.